just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, girls. Here we are again. I want to talk to you about some news. I think we women should catch up on some interesting news. It's very important. I'm reading from Newsmack, a magazine from August 2012. It has a picture of Donald Trump on the front with a red tie and of Mr. Romney over here. He sort of has a blue tie. He's in the background. And I want to read to you something on page 28 called Joe Biden Binges on Taxpayers' Tab. We're always hearing how the president spends so much money on his jets and everything and going on vacations. So I thought this was very interesting because I hadn't heard about this before. It's an article by Ronald Kessler. He's the chief Washington correspondent. I don't know if it means the chief Washington correspondent of this magazine or if he's just a chief Washington correspondent. It doesn't really matter. It says, when President Barack Obama appointed Vice President Joe Biden to root out wasteful government spending, Biden proclaimed himself the new sheriff in town. But behind the scenes, it's an entirely different matter. Every Friday, Biden takes a helicopter designed or designated as Marine 2 from the Vice President's residence to Joint Base Andrews in Maryland, and then hops on Air Force 2 to fly back to his home in Delaware. At the end of the weekend, he returns on Air Force 2. Did you follow all that? During warm weather, Biden regularly returns to Andrews on the airplane on Saturday to play golf at the Air Force Base with President Obama. After the golf game, he flies back to Delaware and returns to Washington on the plane on Sunday evening, all at taxpayers' expense. Now, it's sort of interesting that he flies around on Air Force 2 back and forth just to go home and then go play golf and then go home back to Delaware again, then go back to Washington. And it's also interesting to me that he plays golf a lot with the president, which I didn't realize that. I knew the president played golf a lot, but I didn't know they played together. The cost of flying Air Force 2 is $22,000 an hour. So each half-hour trip to and from Delaware costs $10,000. Each golf cart costs taxpayers each golf game costs taxpayers $20,000. At that rate, the annual cost to taxpayers of Biden's weekend trips is well over $1 million. Now let that sink in a little bit. In addition, the Secret Service has to rent more than 20 condominiums in Washington, Delaware, for agents who protect him during the weekend trips. So it's not only flying back and forth to Delaware to golf games and back and forth, he has to pay for 20 places for the Secret Service people to live. Biden leaves every Friday from Joint Base Andrews, so he gets lifts from the observatory via Marine 2 to Andrews Air Force Base, takes off via Air Force 2, lands in Delaware, and stays the weekend, and then comes back on Sunday nights, says a Secret Service agent familiar with the trips. Every 3 or 4 weeks, when it's warm, he gets up there on Saturday and then will fly back on Air Force 2, the agent said. While Air Force 2 is sitting on the tarmac at Andrews, Biden goes and plays golf with the president at Andrews Air Force Base, gets back on the plane, and flies back to Delaware. Let me tell you something that is egregious. The Boeing C-32 that usually flies as Air Force 2 is a specially configured Boeing 752-200 commercial jet. The Secret Service agent says that since Air Force 2 parks at Andrews, Obama is obviously aware that Biden is running up a huge government tab for each game of golf he plays with him. Biden's press officer said the number of trips and costs are inflated, but would not provide any details. The White House press office had no comment. In addition to his salary of $230,700 as vice president, Biden has free use of vice president's residence at the Naval Observatory. The vice president residence is a handsome 9,150-foot square, three-story mansion overlooking Massachusetts Avenue Northwest in Washington. Complete with pool house, and indoor gym, the white brick house was built in 1893 as the home of the superintendent of the U.S. Naval Observatory. Congress turned it into the official residence of the vice president in 1974 and gave it the address 1 Observatory Circle. During the day, at least 5 Navy stewards attend to every personal need of the second family, including cleaning, cooking, shopping for food, and doing the laundry. Biden has portrayed himself as a regular Joe, a product of the working-class family who takes on millionaires and Republicans who are said to be out of touch with middle-class Americans. But his jet-setter weekend excursions say something else about him. Now, isn't that... Isn't that interesting? And now we have some pictures here. We have a picture of Ronald Kistler, the author of the article. And then we have a picture of Biden standing up there as he just comes out of Air Force Two and waving. And he waves from Air Force Two. And then we have a most interesting one of a club car, golf cart, that the president is driving. The president has sort of a tan hat on and a blue shirt. And then Mr. Biden has sort of a white kind of a tennis shirt, and he has a black hat, and he's hanging on at the top of the golf cart. I guess he doesn't want to fall out of it. And they're riding around on the golf course together. I had no idea they spent so much time together playing golf. It's sort of interesting. Sort of like a father-son arrangement with the president and the vice president. Now, I made that up. I didn't read that anyplace. So now I want to read you something else. I seem to have a frog in my throat right before I came on here. I started choking. But I unchoked, but I still don't have a frog. I want to read you something from David Cloud's Friday News Notes, which came out August 17, 2013. And this is called Hundreds of Millions of Muslims Expecting the Mahdi. This is Friday Church Notes from August 17, 2012. So anyhow, this is, if you want any of these articles I'm reading you today, just call 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask for the articles that Mrs. Waite read on this radio program of Just for Women. And I can send them to you. So a survey by Pew Research has found that an estimated 672 million Muslims expect to see the return of the Mahdi in their lifetime. So that's interesting. In the Middle East, North Africa, and South and Southeast Asia, more than half have this expectation of seeing the Mahdi in their lifetime. Excuse me. Most people have people that can take that out, all that coughing, but we just get this as it is. For example, the number in Afghanistan is 83%. Iraq, 72%. These are people looking for the Mahdi in their lifetime. Tunisia, 67%. Malaysia, 62%. Turkey, 68%. Shias in Iraq, 88%. The Mahdi, or the 12th Imam, is often mentioned by Iranian President Mohammad Ahmadinejad. The Mahdi, believed by Shiites to have disappeared as a child in A.D. 941. So the Mahdi disappeared, they say, when he was a little child in A.D. 941. Is supposed to return and reign on earth for 7 years before bringing about a final judgment and the end of the world. We get that from World Net Daily, December 19, 2006. Excuse me. The 12th Imam is supposed to be accompanied by Muslim Jesus, who will take a subordinate position. According to the Bible, the next event on the God's calendar is a catching away of church-age saints, 1 Thessalonians 4, followed by the appearance of the Antichrist, who will come on the scene as a man of peace and a miracle-working prophet that will accompany him. We read about that in 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13. Sorry. These men will be accepted by Jews, apostate Christians, Muslims, spelled funny, M-U-S-L-I-M-S, New Agers, Hindus, and Buddhists alike. Mankind will rejoice that the Middle East problem has been solved and the long-awaited age of Aquarius has arrived, but the peace party will be short-lived. We find that in 1 Thessalonians 5. And the Antichrist will show his true colors, setting himself up in Israel's third temple as God and requiring the world's worship at the point of death. 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13. The Aquarius Age community has accredited non-governmental organization status with the United Nations and conducts its meeting in a conference room at the UN headquarters. Now that's the Aquarius Age community, whatever that is, but we sort of figure it out as we read along. The Aquarius Age community, which meets in the United Nations, is based on Alice Bailey's channeled messages from the supposed ascended masters and has the objective of ushering a cosmic Christ into the world to create a mystical new world order. The Aquarius Age community, which is known as AAC, website identifies this Christ as Buddha, Maitreya, and the Iman Mahadi, and says he works by means of a mediation centered within the heart. The Aquarius Age community participates in mediation and other mystical practices, guess where, in the meditation room in the United Nations building in New York City. I wonder if you and I could go in there and have a born-again meeting, a biblical meeting. I doubt it. So that's rather interesting. So, atheists call Jesus useless savior. This is also from David Cloud's news notes, August 17, 2012. The American Atheist, AA, is purchasing billboard ads with the text, sadistic God, useless savior. 30,000 plus versions of truth promotes hate, calls it love. Atheism simply reasonable. David Silverman, president of American Atheists, says religion is silly. And atheist group targets presidential candidate's faith. CNN Belly's blog, August 13, 2012. The Bible twice says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Psalm 14. Who but a fool would say there is no evidence for God when he is surrounded by irrefutable evidence from the breathtaking complexity of living cells to the finely tuned fundamental laws of physics in the life cycle of the butterfly? The very existence of the American atheist proves that the Bible is divinely inspired for their rage against Almighty God who prophesied 3,000 years ago in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.
You're listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
I'm under God's care. Are you?